Hello and welcome to Curiously Morbid, a podcast for the curiously morbid people out there. You're joining us on our Freaky Friday. I'm Dean Osgood, otherwise known as the LGBT teacher on Instagram, and I'm joined by my delectable, delicious, delightful Danny Waldron! Whoop whoop, yes!
Hey Dean.
Oh hey girl, hey.
Hey girl.
Did you like that introduction?
I liked it, it was nice.
I feel like I found it.
I feel like that's the one.
I didn't practice in the car, I promise.
I'm not sure if to believe it.
No, I wouldn't believe it. So, it's our Freaky Friday.
It is Freaky Friday.
And to stick with kind of the theme of, we've done a lot of American stories lately, haven't we?
Yeah.
And something that I'm really, really interested in is something that happened in our lifetime.
Oh, tell me.
You're acting surprised, like you haven't already planned it. So, I am curiously morbid.
Yes.
About 9/11.
I'm also curiously morbid about this. I feel like this is one of the first sort of things that I was like curiously morbid on, and like the first sort of conspiracy theory that it was like my gateway into the other conspiracy theory world sort of thing.
Yeah, and starting to go into that. I think we just need to say up front that we are doing this with complete respect. We are delving into the conspiracy theories around it, but we have utter respect for the victims and their families.
Definitely.
And I feel like I just need to say that because this is in all, my lifetime. This is in our lifetime.
This is in both of our lifetimes, yeah.
Where were you when it happened?
So I can remember coming home from school because I was only in year one when this happened.
So I was in year three and I remember coming home from school.
And it was on the TV.
And everyone was watching the TV. And I just remember seeing this happen on the TV. Now, I don't know because I was so young whether we were seeing it live.
I
don't know where it lines up there with the time, because we would have been home from school about, what, half three?
Yeah, something like that. But to be fair, there's like a 5-hour time difference, I think, between us and New York.
So we were probably getting there. But I remember it being very unusual that, like, children's TV, after-school TV, was interrupted because of the news.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, this isn't what normally happens, something big's going on. And then, I'm going to surprise you now, I went to the football that night.
You went to the football?
Yeah, I went to see Tranmere Rovers. Yeah.
Big up Tranmere Rovers.
And they did a 2-minute silence there.
Oh.
And I feel like that was the first time I'd ever experienced anything like that as a child. And then we went into school the next day and we had an assembly on it and we did 2-minute silence there as well.
See, I don't remember having an assembly or anything like that, but I might have done, but I was in like 6. So.
We definitely did, because I remember the distinct atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it was like so tense and so like nobody really knew what was happening or could believe it, and the teachers seemed off.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I remember, I'm sure we were let go a little bit earlier than normal on the day that it happened, because I remember like my teacher and stuff like that, and I remember feeling like, why are we leaving early? You know, like from school. And I don't know, I might have just made that up because I was only 6, but I'm pretty sure we were let go about an hour earlier
but
or something like
that. I also
that.
Feel like there was an atmosphere of like waiting for the next thing
the
to
next
happen.
The next thing, yeah, because it was so big, wasn't it? Nothing like that had ever happened before.
It felt like it was the start of something.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone was on edge that something could happen and something could happen anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hate thinking about it. It makes me so sad.
Mm. Well, yeah, and for such a long time, I thought it was only the two towers that were hit. I didn't realise
there
were
four planes. Yeah.
Until I think I must have been like maybe like 15, 16. And obviously every year around September, there's like documentaries and stuff on the TV about it. I remember watching one with my dad, and it did like, you know, really in-depth about the whole thing. And I was like, what? There was another like 2 planes. And I couldn't believe it because...
Have you not seen United 93?
I have now.
So for those that don't know the full details about 9/11, it happened on September 11th, 2001. 4 planes were hijacked and then weaponized and used as weapons of destruction. So 2 of the planes hit the World Trade Center towers, one in the North Tower, one in the South Tower. One plane was used to hit the Pentagon, and one other plane, which was United 93, was overtaken by the passengers. And they stopped the plane hitting the target. It's speculated that the target was the White House, but it's unsure because it never happened. But that crashed in a field,
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
So it is quite likely, to be fair, that it was heading that way.
Yeah, it makes me so sad thinking about all this, you know.
It is really sad. It's really, really sad.
So horrendous. And I lived in New York for a while, and I went to 9/11 Memorial, and it's the atmosphere there is horrendous, and you can see where the towers were, and you see the names of everyone that was...
I feel like if you go to New York, that is a really important place to go and sort of pay your respects and stuff, even though it is hard.
It's hard, yeah. But you need to go and do it, and you need to just go and see the effect and see the devastation.
Yeah.
Horrendous. However, we are going to talk about the conspiracies around it today.
Yeah.
So what we've just given is the official account of what happened. However, this was an event that changed the world.
Yeah.
The world hasn't been the same since that day.
No, nothing's been the same. Even like TV and film, things like that. Like a lot of sci-fi films are totally different. And it's called like the post 9/11 effect. Like there's a film called The Mist, and in the book, it just ends with them driving off into the mist, and then that's it. That's the end. Whereas in the film, in like the post 9/11 sort of way,
he kills them
all, and it's like a huge tragedy, and it's horrible.
Why is that different? I didn't know that was different, because he kills them.
Yeah, it's the 9/11 effect, they say. Like, so they changed it to reflect the world, you know, at the time,
and stuff.
And lots of like loads of sci-fi films, they have this like theme of helplessness and like just like utter dread, and you know, like stuff like that that's just not pleasant.
I would much prefer the ending where they drove off, because I hate the end of The Mist.
Oh, it's horrible, where isn't it? It's horrible.
And he hasn't got enough bullets to shoot himself, and then literally as soon as he's killed his family and the other people,
it's horrible.
The mist clears and the army's there. Like, I've always didn't like that ending.
Yeah, and well, that's why.
That's
and
why.
Cloverfield as well is like a big like post 9/11 sort of world. All that sort of stuff about it, like you can read interviews with like the directors and things like that, and it's really interesting to see like how it changed horror and the sci-fi genre in particular. It's really interesting,
and how it has changed day-to-day life.
Yeah,
and it was the start on the war on terror, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah,
the big war on terror, because I know terrorism has happened years before it.
Yeah, but this is like the most colossal sort of event really that really affected the whole world.
So now, a lot of these theories I'm getting from a documentary called Loose Change. Go and watch that documentary after you've listened to our podcast. It is fab. You need to watch it. I always watch lots of documentaries around 9/11, and I feel such a connection with it.
Yeah.
And I know people that lost family members there.
Yeah. So, well, again, I think that's why it's such a big thing, because of where it happened in New York, which is such like, it's a melting pot, isn't it, of so many different people. From all over the world. Obviously, it was in the World Trade Center, so you've got business people from all over the globe there.
So there's five main theories around this, and we're going to go through them one by one. So the first theory, it's one I quite believe in,
okay. And
it's corroborated by a lot of eyewitness reports and a lot of testaments from firefighters, from police officers that were there at the time, so that the Twin Towers were brought down by explosives and not by planes.
Yeah, do you know, I've seen a lot of this, and I'll let you go through it and decide, but obviously, if you're saying that, like, can I just ask, like, does that mean that you don't think the planes were, like, put into the towers at all? Or
no, so that does go into it. So, the theory that there was explosives that brought the towers down as a controlled explosive, there's lots of evidence that backed it up. There is eyewitness reports that state that they heard multiple explosions as the towers were collapsing.
Right.
There is reports that they heard big explosions, and that the way the towers fell was in a controlled demolition.
Yeah, I've seen like, you know, like video simulations side by side of the way they came down, and like the way other buildings that have been like, you know, like obviously not had a plane gone into them, but something sort of that effect.
Yeah.
And how they should have come down, because I would have thought they would have like toppled over rather than just fully come all the way down the way they did, you know, in that sort of straight formation.
It feels like they were brought down in a way that would cause the least destruction
to the rest of the areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, there is this theory that the building could have withstood the planes crashing into them.
Right. Yes, I've seen this as well.
So it talks about on that Loose Change, But there was a simulation run before 9/11, and there was this heightened sense that the World Trade Center towers were going to be attacked by a plane. So the people were running simulations before as to what would happen if a plane was to hit the towers.
That's weird.
That's strange, isn't it? So it was kind of like known about. And there's a guy on the Loose Change documentary that talks all about it, whose job was kind of like risk assess and manage it. So prior to the 9/11 attacks, the World Trade Center had already been targeted by terrorists.
Yeah, it had, yeah.
There was an attack where they tried to drive a car full of explosives into the car park, which was under the tower.
Right.
And it was like, people knew something was going to happen with these buildings because they were so prominent. They were such big things.
Yeah.
They knew it was going to happen. All calculations that I've seen kind of show that the buildings could withstand the plane crash.
Right.
Because if you think about what a plane is made out of, it's very lightweight, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the way it kind of cuts through the building is very like...
I was going to say, yeah, it just goes in seamlessly. And I remember when I saw that, obviously when I was older, not as a child, when I was a child, it just sort of was like, whoa. But when I was older, I remember thinking to myself, isn't that mad the way the full plane's just gone all the way in? Like, I would have expected a plane
to stick outside.
Yes, maybe some of it be sticking out, or for it to have snapped, or, you know, like something like that. But obviously, I'm not a plane expert, so I don't know.
But plane experts have looked at it.
Right.
So the way the building is set up, the towers, is that there is like a four-core structure.
Okay.
So there's four lift shafts that act as the main core of the building that hold it
right.
up. And then the rest of the building comes out of it. Now, it's made out of steel.
Yeah, so it's really strong.
It is completely reinforced and it's massively strong. Now, the theory is this. What they are saying is that it wasn't the plane crash that caused the collapse. It was the fuel. They had near enough full tanks of fuel.
Right.
And that ignited and burnt to such a heat that it started to melt the metal.
Okay.
Okay, but I kind of don't... I don't know where to stand here because I think, why did it collapse from under?
Yeah, like from where it came
because
down,
the plane
yeah.
struck quite near the top, didn't they?
For the first one, it was quite near the top, wasn't it? I think
the second
south
one
tower was a little
was
bit
more
lower
lower.
Down, wasn't it?
But I don't know. It is something not right there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just the fact that there were already simulations of it. Like,
because
it's a bit strange.
Because they, I don't know whether they've been tips or whether they've been warnings, but they knew that they could get an aerial attack on the towers.
Yeah.
And there's this guy, I can't remember his name, but I'll insert it here.
Rick Ricola.
He is hailed as a 9/11 hero. He was like the risk management person in the attack, and he knew that an attack like this was coming. And he was telling people and trying to get people to put things in place. On the day of 9/11, he went back and forth into the buildings countless times to rescue people. And he was out safe, but he kept going back in to get as many people out as he could because he felt he had the responsibility.
Yeah.
And he actually died in the buildings.
Oh,
but he
so
rescued
awful.
Loads of people.
That's like a lot of the firemen, isn't it? A lot of the firemen, obviously, they were in, out, safe loads of times because they've got out, but then obviously going back in to help. It's awful that.
So, along with this theory, there's also this theory that there was never any planes, which I don't agree with this theory, but I'm just going to tell you because it's out there.
Yeah.
That there weren't any planes and instead the planes were missiles. Some people say that the missiles had like a hologram around them to look like planes. And there's people on YouTube, you can see the videos where they're like showing that the hologram glitches and things like that.
Right.
I don't agree with it.
I
think it's too
far
fetched.
I really don't believe
I think
that.
There's too many countless witnesses that seen the planes
yeah.
at the towers.
Well, that's the thing. Like, one, there's tons of witnesses. And also, there's the actual, like, flight manifestos. And, you know, like, so many people would have to be in on that cover-up then. It'd be, like, the airlines and things like that. And, you know, like, what about the captain and stuff? Like, what were his family just, like, in on it as well?
Too complicated.
Yeah, it's way too complicated.
I just think if the government had something to do with this, they would have gone for the simplest route.
Yeah.
Because that is all too much.
Yeah.
So, on the theme of missiles, the second conspiracy theory is that it was a missile that hit the Pentagon and not American Airlines Flight 77.
Okay.
Early video footage and photos taken from the scene did not show much evidence of a plane wreckage.
Right.
Theorists maintain that this was evidence that the Pentagon was struck by a missile rather than Flight 77. They say the missile was like an unmanned drone or some kind of missile, because the damage to the building was too minor to have been caused by a commercial airline. Because if you look, it's quite controlled where it's hit. And you can even see on the photos that there is an open book on a chair right next to where like the building's been ripped apart.
Yeah.
The building's been ripped apart, then like 2 foot next to it, there's an open book on a chair. So had that been like a plane, they're maintaining that like the jet fuel would have burned quickly and it would have made more damage than it did.
But again, with that one, it's too many people. Like, you know, well, all the people that were on that plane and stuff, and like the captain and thing, I don't know, like all the air hostesses that were on it and things
so
like that.
I see that, and I see that, but I am inclined to think that this was a missile that hit the Pentagon. Because if you think the Pentagon is one of the strongest secure buildings ever, the footage of the plane hitting the building is very minimal. You think there'd be cameras all over that.
Yeah.
There's only one or two angles that we see the plane hitting. And then there's lots of like obscured angles. Now, whether that be that that footage just hasn't been released to the public and it's classified.
I was going to say, maybe you just haven't released it.
But surely they would want to show off the plane hitting the tower, the Pentagon. I think what happened here was that the plane was meant to hit the Pentagon and it didn't. It was similar to United 93. Maybe crashed before it hit. And they come up with a second plan. So there was four flights and the people on that flight did die, but not in the way they say it is.
Mm. Was any of like the wreckage found and stuff in the Pentagon? Like,
bits, but not lots. Mm. And you'd imagine, like, planes crash.
Yeah, and there's lots of
Wreckage, there's lots of debris. Like, I know it's not often that planes crash into buildings.
Yeah.
But I would still imagine there would be things. So, moving on to our third one, and this one makes me really sad. And I think, I like, United 93, out of all of the planes, I feel is the one that, like, I don't know, because they made, the film about it, I feel
yeah,
it's the one that,
like... connected to it.
Connected to it, and I also feel like they overthrown the plane.
I know, like, some really brave people.
They fought
plane.
Back.
Yeah.
And this theory really, like, gets me. So United Airlines Flight 93 was shot down.
Yeah. Okay.
So according to official reports, the passengers on board Flight 93 attempted to take back the plane from the hijackers, and a subsequent struggle caused the aircraft to crash into an open field in Pennsylvania. As with the Pentagon attack, theorists state that the little plane wreckage was actually discovered and the field on the crash site itself was too small for an airliner that size, arguing instead that the plane was shot down by the military and so it disintegrated over a larger area. Because you can see this field where they're saying it crashed.
Yeah.
And like, there's not a lot there. It was very little evidence. And really, we should see the most with this because it didn't hit anything. It crashed into a field.
Yeah, so you'd think it'd look like I've seen, obviously, debris, like, don't know if anyone's ever watched Air Crash Investigation, but I've watched that loads, and when you see like the real footage of planes that have like crashed into the ground, there is quite a lot of debris and
so
stuff
this
like
is
that.
Why I think of this, but if it was hit in the air, we've seen footage of planes being hit in the air, and it just disperses everywhere, doesn't it?
And you know, this is something that it's like, I think the government would do that because ultimately you're protecting other people. You know, like...
And the secrets around it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if they overthrown that plane and they did what they did, which is so heroic, that's not what the government wanted them to do. The government wanted them to comply.
Mm. Oh, that makes me really sad.
It's horrendous. This makes me really sad talking about it. Sorry. This might not be the funnest episode to listen to. But it shouldn't be.
No.
The fourth theory is that the United States government knew the attacks were going to happen and they deliberately stood down the military.
Do you know, this is one that I kind of believe. Have you seen the footage of Bush finding out that the t- towers have been hit, and he's in a primary school.
Yeah, he was in a school in a very clear...
in an elementary school.
We found the humour.
And he gets told about it, and he thinks he's, like, reading a book to the class or something, isn't he? And then he gets, like, someone whispering in his ear, and he looks. I know that he's the president, and he obviously is sat in front of a class of kids. You're not going to go, oh, my God! But, like, he just looks very, like... blasé about it, as if like he saw and knew it was going to happen. Like, he doesn't look like shocked.
I'd be like,
yeah,
I'd get out.
Well, that's the thing, and it's the fact that he just stays there. But you don't know what the person whispered to. The person might have whispered, don't want to alarm this class of children, finish what you're doing, and then we're gonna go.
Yeah, we don't know what was said, but I think you're the president. The president should be whisked away
straight
to deal with that.
Yeah. And also, he could be under threat. Surely they'd want to get him away from a public setting.
Quickly.
Immediately.
Where were the military at the time of 9/11?
Where were the military? I don't know, but I'm guessing you're going
to
tell me.
Yeah, were they ready to go out and help? Were they in all the positions they should be in case there was an attack?
Right.
Were they ready to defend?
Where were they?
They were on a military war games exercise.
Oh.
Yeah. They weren't ready. They were away planning a war games. If you don't know what the war games is, it's where the military get put in simulated attacks or simulated scenarios, and they respond to it.
Right.
Often the military split into two teams, like a red team and a blue team, and they have to like attack each other as if it was a real enemy. Yeah, so they were away in a war games.
Mm.
And it took like them to scramble planes and jets a lot longer because they weren't where they should be.
Yeah, because, you know, I've always thought that was odd that the military didn't get... Because, you know, when you see, like, footage and obviously, like, all the amazing, like, the police department in New York and the fire department and things like that, they're all there scrambling.
Straight away.
And I've always thought... In, obviously, I only have like knowledge from films, but in films, the military are in and there's like tanks on the street and stuff like that. And that would be the sort of response I would expect from a terrorist attack with that kind of severity.
Yeah, straight away. And I would imagine that the minute that planes are reported not responding to air traffic control, that the military would be scrambled to try and find that plane in the air.
Yeah.
Which some of them were.
Yeah.
There were military planes that were looking at some of them, especially the later ones.
Yeah.
Like United 93 and the one that hit the Pentagon.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I was just a shout out to another podcast called Radio Rental. The first ever episode of Radio Rental is about a guy who was on a plane with someone who had a bomb on the plane and he was trying to detonate it. Luckily, very vigilant passengers and crew and stuff like that, and they sort of cottoned on and tied this guy up and made sure he couldn't detonate this bomb that he had with him. I think this was like pre 9/11 as well. And then they were escorted because it was like from Paris to America, so they were like over the like sea or something like that. And they had fighter jets like come and escort the plane. And he said at the time it was dead cool because he was like he was young and he thought, wow, we've got these fighter jets. But they were there to shoot the plane down if they needed to. That's what their job was, basically.
And, to stop any further destruction.
Yeah, to stop anything happening. And then he was obviously like informed about that when they were taking off the plane and stuff. And all the military were there and, you know, things like that. So that would be the response you'd
that you would expect.
Yeah.
So there is a military organization called NORAD, which stands for North American Aerospace Defense Command. So these are the like branch of the RAF, I think, that deal with their domestic airspace and if anything was to happen in that. And this theory is that they were deliberately stood down,
right,
and told not to get their fighter jets to interject.
Okay.
So there is theories that fighter jets that were scrambled and could have the planes in view were stood down and told not to intervene. America seemingly had the most powerful air force at the time, and yet none of the four planes were intercepted by the military. And it was quite a lot of time between each of the planes hitting where they finally hit. So theorists think this is an indication that the government knew of the attacks ahead of time, and that they wanted them to happen, so it could be a false flag and start the Iraq
war. That's what a lot of people think, isn't it? Yeah.
And then the last one is, I'm just going to say this because it's the last one, but there is loads more out there. We are just going into the ones that we can briefly go into because of it's a Freaky Friday, we're shorter form. But if you want to know more about these, watch Loose Change. Go on YouTube. There's lots and lots of documented evidence out there.
Channel 4 is really good. They've got loads.
If you're in the UK. But you might be able to get them on BritBox.
Yeah. There's loads there, which is really good.
And there's also a really good one, which isn't to do with 9/11, but would help maybe inform your decisions. It's on Channel 4. It's also on Netflix. And it's about a plane crash. They take a plane to like the Nevada deserts. And they deliberately crash a passenger plane to see what would happen. It's called The Plane Crash.
I've never watched that.
Have you not? It's really good. I'm terrified of flying.
I know, I was going to say, I shouldn't watch that because I'm a really bad flyer.
With my anxiety, I need to know everything. So it shows you like what's the best seats to sit in a plane, what's going to survive. Literally have this plane flying, a passenger plane, and then they crash it. There's no one on board the plane.
Yeah, of course.
The passenger bails out the window and then it's flied by remote. It's really good.
God.
So the last one that we're going to talk about today is that insider traders, obviously insider trading is a big thing in America and it clearly happens.
Yeah.
Knew about the attacks before they happened. So in the days preceding the attacks, an extraordinary amount of options, so investments that pay off when a stock drops in price, were placed on the stocks on two airlines in America. They were American Airlines and United Airlines that they were placed on. So they make money if their stocks fall.
Oh, that's crazy.
On the two airlines that were getting hijacked. Yeah. As such, theorists believe that traders had been given advance warning of the attacks that were crashing. So the fact that like an extraordinary amount of stocks were put on them that you would, I don't know how stocks work. But the theory is that if these certain stocks dropped in price, that they would make money.
Yeah.
So they knew.
Yeah, they knew.
I don't know how much it go into that, but they knew. But there's loads of other theories out there as well. Like this theory is that the Simpsons preempted it. There is a news scene in the Simpsons where there is a poster or like a TV in the background which has two towers and a plane going into them. There's loads of little theories like that of media showing the 9/11 attacks before they happened.
I don't like that.
But what we'll go into in another Freaky Friday is there's this idea that if there's going to be big things like that, that whoever is orchestrating these attacks puts them into media, into the consciousness before it happens, so that people aren't surprised when it happens. So that's why they feel like Simpsons predicts a lot, because these things are getting put into the media ahead of time. So when these things happen, it's not too much of a shock because you've kind of been conditioned for it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a whole Freaky Friday that we'll go into.
It really is a whole Freaky Friday. Yeah.
This has been a sad Freaky Friday.
Friday.
But I think we need to talk about it. I think the theories are interesting.
Yeah.
Please go and educate yourself more. Loose Change, loads of documentaries, YouTube. It needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
Because if these conspiracies did happen, we need to bring people to justice.
Oh, 100%. But the only thing is, I feel like this is going to be something like, you know, like the JFK.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never really know, and I feel like the government would just always try and stonewall people like with this as much as possible, because it's so huge as well.
But if we're not talking about it, we are compliant.
It just kills the conversation.
Yeah, so we need to keep the conversation alive, just like we do with any other conspiracy, because whether you believe it or not, it's important that these points of view get heard.
Yeah, definitely.
So cheer me up a little bit, Danielle. What's on case for Monday?
So on Monday, we are doing something a little bit lighter. It's still obviously like a little bit concerning, but we are doing something.
Concerning. It's still not nice.
We're doing something a bit lighter. It's sort of like a bit of a history case, which is fun. We're going back by like...
Back again.
We're going back like 400, 500 years. Which
more
is
than
fun.
That.
A huge... No, it's not more than that.
It was not more than that? Oh, sorry. My history is not very good. Danielle's like, nah, I know.
So we're looking into a rather large disappearance of a lot of people.
Are we going to tell them what it is, or are they going to have to wait until Monday?
They'll wait till Monday.
We'll see you on Monday.
We'll see you on Monday.
Follow us on all social medias at Curiously Morbid Pod. Give us 5 stars if you listen to us on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. But in the meantime,
stay curious.
Stay morbid. Yes, McLeod lad.
Are you looking for a new adventure? Did you ever want to visit the city where all your nightmares reside? Well, you're in luck. Join us, your tour guides, Christine and Jen, to visit Nopeville, where you will be personally escorted on an all-inclusive trip through the city and see all possibilities of terror and fright.
You'll see all sorts of things on your tours, including, but definitely not limited to, the paranormal, true crime, the supernatural, and more. If you're into all that and enjoy a little dark humor, book your tour today and nope right along with us. Check us out on our website at nopevillepodcast.com to see where you can listen to Nopeville today.